welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Again, just say thank you God for this space we can actually meet. But I just want to encourage you before I start, look around. Even though we have to be spread out, there is still lots of space. And so I just encourage you to keep praying, like Claire said last week, that people would be drawn out, that we'd be growing. We're not about having a big meeting, that's not, but actually, this, as I'm going to talk about today, actually, I love the fact, I know many of you love any chance you get to be able to gather with God's people to pray and worship and hear his word. So I encourage you to keep praying that as the weeks and months go on, that God will keep drawing people out. And actually that we would see this hall filled. And actually that we'd be longing, not just because every other reason why we're longing for kind of regulations and everything to kind of to lessen. And so, but actually we'd be longing because we'd be thinking even a sports hall isn't big enough to have us in. Actually, we need to start priming ourselves in. And I encourage you to keep praying for venue. As I said, this is brilliant. But obviously it is a sports hall. So come September, October, it is going to get cold in here. Those of you can remember being in Highfield Sports Hall for those few weeks, it was horrid. I just encourage you to keep praying that God would bless us with a place, pray obviously that the restrictions would lessen, we'd be able to gather. And also, Sharon, is this your last week? Great. Okay. We will pray for you next week. And again, like I said last week, Sharon, if you turn up the week after, we're not going to kick you out. Okay? You're going to have to keep coming. right. Let's get into this then. So, we are looking at Church 1.0, the first church. And yes, it's brilliant. What an Ethan. He's over there. Brilliant. Just a quick recap. Last week we looked at this piece of scripture from Acts 42-47, and we will read this most weeks. So I'm going to read it for you again today because it just looks at what the first church was actually like, that kind of their gathering. And it says, so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to the prayers. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, God, for your word. God, I want to thank you for what you've done this morning already. God, I pray that you would grow us. So, God, you continue to fill this place. God, I pray that you'd stir our hearts. Continue for that, Lord God. I thank you for the prompting of Claire last week, Pete this week, Lord God. And I pray, Jesus, that you would do it, Lord God, because you are the God of the impossible, Lord Jesus. And as we look this week at worship, as we look at your presence, God, that we would truly grow and become and continue to be a people who love the fact that we get to gather in your presence, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen. Amen. So, last week we talked about, as we looked at this chapter, as we looked at this piece of scripture, this paragraph, what we see is that we have a community here that is studying what the apostles are saying, that the apostles are teaching about Jesus, and they're desiring to be like Jesus, who was grace and truth. And we looked at this statement that says, we love each other no matter what. Because to be a people who are full of grace and truth, it means that we love each other no matter what. That means we love each other despite our flaws, that actually we have grace for each other, but also we speak truth into each other, but not in a wagging finger way. It means that we're here to cheer each other on towards being more like Christ. And that's what we talked about. That's what we're doing. But actually, as well, when we look at this passage, what we see also is a people who are committed to praising and worshipping their God. You see, and they're committed to worshipping and praising him because they've received the gospel. they've received the gospel. They've been told about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've heard it. They've received it. And what the gospel is, this little word that means good news, it starts off as Romans 8 tells us. Romans 8, at the end of Romans 8, if you read it, it says that we've been chosen. It means God knows all about you. God knows you. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. It, you know, it says that he knows the hairs on your head. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows where you're going to live in the future. He knows everything about you, even stuff that you don't even know about yourself. And it says that before the beginning of the earth was created, before time itself, he chose you. He wanted to have you as a member of his family. It then goes on to say that he freed us. He freed us from sin. That actually, ultimately, our sin, the way that we live, the way that we conduct our life, actually, as we are in rebellion to God, that ultimately has a wage to it. That ultimately has a penalty to it, which means that we deserve death. We deserve separation from God. And it says that Jesus paid that price for us so we don't have to. Jesus paid that price so we don't have to. It then goes on to say that we are justified, that we have been, ultimately, we have been made right in the eyes of God, that we are now righteous, that the gap between us and God, that the wrong stuff we've done, the way that we have lived our life, God chooses not to see that. He sees Christ's perfect, sinless life instead. And then finally, it says that this is all a free gift of grace. This is a free gift of grace given to us by God himself, given to us, Jen. That is not everything. That is not everything. See, if we stop there, we've got an amazing sense. We can worship God. You can say, oh, I thank you, God. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for that you have saved me. I thank you that you've made me right with God. I thank you that you have justified me. I thank you this is all a free gift of grace. But there is so much more. There is so much more. See, if we read in the Old Testament, read the book of Psalms, in Psalm 16:11, it says, you will make known to me the way of life. Your presence is full of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. And what we see is actually, in these chapters, we see that God has made a way for us, and actually, he hasn't just come to save us, so that we don't have punishment for sin that our life deserves. But he has given us so much more. And actually, what we see is if we read the first kind of few verses of the Bible, you read the first kind of couple of chapters of the Bible, what we see actually is this: we read about this Eden, this paradise where God and people walk, talk, commune together. And what we see is that quite often we call Eden the garden, paradise. But do you know what? That isn't the paradise. The paradise isn't this lovely garden. The paradise isn't this lovely garden called Eden that we can no longer get to. That the paradise was this relationship between God and man. The paradise was us being able to walk and talk and commune and share everything with God with no barriers, nothing there at all. So what we see is ultimately that, you know, again, just at three chapters into the Bible, this paradise is broken. This paradise is broken in a way that because we people make poor choices, we make selfish decisions, which ultimately mean that we are separated from God. And we are separated from him, that paradise was broken for us, that we couldn't have that relationship with God until 2,000 years ago, where God became a man and lived a life without sin, going to a cross, bearing our sin, bearing our punishment for us in full. And so therefore we have complete forgiveness. We have complete forgiveness. See, we have forgiveness for our sins. We have so much, but there is so much more on offer to us than forgiveness. There is so much more on offer to us than being set free from our sin. I mean, you know, did Jesus die for you? Yes.
Did he pay for your debt? Yes. Does he justify us? Yes. Does he make us righteous? Yes. Is it all bought by the free gift of his grace? Yes. But there is more. That is just the start. You see, Jesus said in the Gospels that he has come to give us life and give us life to the full. You see, we ourselves, you know, we're not to walk around going, oh, I'm a sinner. I'm an awful person. God, please forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me. But I'm just an awful person. I've just scraped in by your grace. No, we're here. We're set free for so much more. You see, we have a purpose in life. We have a purpose in life. And when we do what we're made to do, life is at its best. You know, some of you, you will know this by your jobs that you did or you do currently. You know, I went to uni and, I didn't complete uni. I went to uni for a year and a bit, studying engineering. But I am not an academic. I'm not someone who likes sums. I'm not someone who likes calculating. I like working with my hands. So I stopped going to uni and I went and learned to become an electrician. And when I'm doing electrical work, when I'm problem solving, when I'm able to fix a problem, whether it's in industry or whether it's in someone's house, it's like part of me is like, this is what I'm meant to do. Now, some of you know what that feels like. You're like, and some of you, it's not practical work. When you're doing practical work, you're just like, I am not made for doing practical work. You much more prefer being behind a screen, much prefer to be doing numbers and figures. You know, others of you know what this is like with sport. You know, you love playing sport. When you're playing sport, you feel like, this is exactly what I'm created to do. Some of you are like, you know, I feel alive when I'm running. When I'm running down the seafront, when I'm running around the park, I just feel alive. Others of you are just like, I wouldn't run even if my life depended on it. You know, you're just like that's so far from what life looks like for me. I'm not that person. And so we know that when we're doing what we feel like we're created to do, life is at its best. And so, but there's more than work. There's more that actually overarching all of that is actually you were created to be a worshiper of God. You were created to bring him glory. And as John Piper writes in his kind of life mantra, which is, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Or as I rejig this week, just put it back to front because it makes more sense for this morning. You are most satisfied when God is most glorified in you. We are most satisfied when God is most glorified in us. You see, we are created to worship God. So what does a church that is worshiping, that is praising God look like? Well, first it means that we are a God that, we are a people who sing, who shout, who praise his name. And that's one of the things actually about this kind of past year and a bit, which has felt so awful, isn't it? Because we know it's kind of deep down, this is what we were created to do, that we were created to sing, we were created to shout, we were created to lift our voices, whether in harmony or whether in an awful noise, it doesn't matter. We're created to lift our voices to God. And you kind of feel like, you know, Jesus said himself, you know, when people told others around him to be quiet, to stop making a fuss. And he said, if they don't cry out and worship, the rocks themselves. And I feel like this year it's felt like I can hear some rocks singing, you know, because as we've been told that we can't sing out, as we had to be kind of quiet, be whatever. But you know what? You can still cry out. You can still shout to God. You can still worship God, you know, at home, when you're on your own. You know, I encourage you, do it. You get to, you know, put on some music and just sing. No one cares. And especially, you know, if you're on your own in your home, no one cares how good your voice is. No one cares. It's just you. So just cry out to God, because it's what we were created to do. It also looks like that we do life, that we do our job, that we raise our kids, that we go to school, that we do everything we can with a desire to bring glory to Jesus. It means that when you do your job, you do it well, but you don't do it well for your boss. It means you do it well as if you're for doing it for Jesus. It means if you are a boss, if you do lead a company or whatever, or you work for yourself, you do that in glory to God. It means that you go to school and you study for your exams and whatever as you would for Jesus. It means that you raise your kids as if you would for Jesus. You see, it means that we treasure every moment. I've just kind of touched on it kind of slightly, but it means that we treasure every moment of every day looking for opportunity to be with Christ. You see, that we spend time with him, talking to him, bringing our problems, asking him how we can best serve him and others, and then listening to what he has to say. We come to him and we listen to him. Because God didn't just die so that you could be okay with him. He died so you could have a relationship with him. He died so that you could be a son, so that you could be a daughter to him. Now, in the Old Testament, like the picture that we get in the Old Testament is the kind of the going up the hill of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord. And if you think and there's like this theme in the Old Testament that every place where when they go to meet with God, they're going up the mountain, going up the hills, you know. And it's because that hills, you know, they're up in the sky, mountains, they're up in the sky. So there's this imagery of heaven touching earth. And what we see is if you think of like Moses, when the people have escaped from, or have been set free from Egypt, Moses goes up Sinai, doesn't he? He's God's chosen person to go up Sinai. But the rest of the people, they're not allowed to go up. Actually, they, in fact, can't touch the mountain because of their sin. They can't touch the mountain because of their separation from God. And if they do, they will die. So bringing this into the gospel, what Jesus has done, he said, you can touch the mountain. You can come up the mountain. But what so many of us do, unfortunately, is we go, oh, thank you. If I touch the mountain, I won't die. And then we stay there. Rather than going up the mountain and spending time in God's presence, it's like, okay, say I was to say, you can come back to my house and, you know, forget restrictions, whatever. You can come to my house, you can come right into my house, okay? And as you get there, you realize you've just stood in some dog muck. And you're like, oh, I can't come in because my shoes are covered in dog muck. And if I step in your house, I'm going to get it filthy. Okay? Then we clean your shoes, or we just take them off. Oh, okay, you can come in because you're not going to get my house dirty. Great. Okay, and then you walk just through the front door and stay there. You don't come in, you don't have a cup of tea, you don't sit down on the sofa, you don't come and have dinner, you don't watch telly, you don't come and chat or whatever, you just stay in the doorway. I mean, we wouldn't do that. But so many of us live in this sense of, oh, thank you, God, for forgiving me. Now I'm okay with you. And that's it. Where God has created us for so much more. He's created us to come and live with him and spend time with him. We are created to worship, to spend time in his presence day in, day out. Not just waiting for a Sunday, not just waiting for a Wednesday. And I'd encourage you, even though I'm saying not just waiting for a Sunday, not just waiting for a Wednesday, I'd really encourage you, if you can, come along to Wednesdays. Because it is great to worship on every day and spend time with God every day. It's better, let me say, it's better when you can do it with others. It's so much better when you can come and do it. So I just encourage you to do that. But on this, okay, I'm just going to end on this. You don't have to worship. You don't have to spend time with Jesus. You don't have to. Grace says you don't have to. You can just come into the throne room of God and stay in the doorway. Thank you that I get to come in. You don't have to. You don't have to come anywhere. You don't have to spend every day with him. You can just thank him for saving you, and that be it. But my kind of ending question is, why? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? When the creator of the universe is on offer to you every single moment of every single day to talk to him your problems, to thank him for what's going on, to just talk to him, just to ask him for wisdom, to just spend time in his presence, which is the best feeling on earth. And any other planet you want to be on, you know, why would you do that? You see, the truth is, you don't have to spend time in God's presence. You don't have to worship him every single day. But the truth is that by grace, you get to. You get to. So I'm going to pray for us, and I hope you kind of get that sense that we get to. And I know it's been a bit noisy, and I don't care. You can listen to this again, but it's just we have grace for one another. We love God, and we can spend time in His presence. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to clear out off. But So Lord Jesus, I thank you, Jesus, for your presence, God. I thank you that we get to worship you, God. God, I'm sorry, God, for times when I just accept the fact that I'm forgiven. God, because I want to live a life that's with you. God, you are Emmanuel, which means God with us. God, and I want to live a life that's with you. God, I want to worship you, spend time with you every single moment of every single day. God, I pray that you would stir us as a people, as Pete's kind of been bringing to us, stir us as a people to worship you, to love you, to serve you every single day of every moment, God, that we would be worshiping, we would be praying with you, we'd be sharing our thoughts and our problems with you, Jesus, because that is the best life possible, to be with you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.com.